Hello and welcome to another edition of Pitching In, your favorite Friday morning baseball podcast on the Post Gazette Podcast Network. We're also the only baseball podcast on the Post Gazette Network, but in any case, Jason Mackey alongside the one and only Michael McHenry, who is everywhere. He was out of the coaching clinic the other night and now he's here. And what's going on, Fort? How are you, buddy?
Not much, but I got to show you who was in my seat when I got down here tonight.
Okay. Okay.
What Bert, so my wife's a giant Gators fan.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He was down here. He was on the mic. So I had to share that.
Why was I waiting for you for 25 minutes? I could have hosted with him.
I know he's a bigger personality. I mean, just look how he keeps.
Oh, that's impossible. I mean, there's no bigger personality than you, friend.
Oh, stop it.
So you're gonna sleep with him tonight and cuddle or what? Is that the way this goes?
Yeah, he sleeps with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He cuddles me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just been funny because we started this thing during Thanksgiving. My wife bought this really funny thing that kind of stretches out. It was Halloween. It's a boo. It's what she called it. It's like little ghost. And when you pull it, it stretches the legs. Well, she just found an elf like that, but it's a gnome elf.
Okay.
So we hid it all over the house. So like it'd be like one day I had it bungee jumping, kind of like Elf on the Shelf. So like
now
it's turned into like things we're getting out of the storage for, you know, decorating. And I guess Albert was in there, so she just threw him in here on the mic. So we've been doing that for about a month and a half because we're children.
The holidays are coming at a good time for you, Fort.
Absolutely, no doubt about it.
Are you guys pro decorating?
We are. She has like a knack. I don't know if your wife does, but she just has a knack putting things together. And I don't really understand what's going on until it's actually up.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, do this. And I'm like, seems weird. And then you're like, whoa, that's kind of cool. But yeah, she loves it.
Cool. Before we get into some actual baseball talk.
Wait. You didn't tell me. Are you like the Griswolds? How do you do it?
No, I mean, Abby does most of the decorating. I stink at it. I'm useless around the house. I shouldn't say I'm useless. I clean things well. I clean things a lot. But yeah, the decoration, that's Abby. The cooking, that's Abby. Not my wheelhouse. I don't even like it. I mean, I like decorating the house, like inside the house. I'm just not like climbing on the roof, hanging lights, doing crazy stuff like that. Like, and not that we do it in general. We put a few things out. We have like two inflatables out there, but yeah, it's nothing too. We're definitely not the Griswolds. I'll say it that way. But I do admire people who do that. Like my kids love driving around the neighborhood and looking at Christmas lights. We actually did it tonight. I never want them to be any older than the age where like, that's okay and fun. And they don't hate me for making them do that. Although I totally plan on making them do that at age 18. I don't care how miserable they are.
Lock them down.
You better be paying your own rent or you're driving around and looking at Christmas lights with me and my wife.
Yeah, I love it.
So good stuff, man. Good stuff. I want to remind you, as always, we're brought to you by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. You probably love that more than you do us blabbing about Christmas lights. And in any case, the interior is wall-to-wall pirates. You know this. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park is Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Fort, you know this. Those watching and listening do not. We have a lot to get to. We have questions that I put out on Twitter, soliciting questions. We got a bunch of really good ones back. I think I grabbed like 10 that I want to try to get us to. I don't think I ever possibly will. We've got some news that I want to discuss as well. Johan Oviedo having Tommy John surgery, which people know. Not going to get too much into that other than maybe some questions about, is there anything wrong with the pitching program? Should they be asking critical questions? I think they should be. Pirates also made a hire in terms of an assistant general manager, Sarah Gellis. Interesting hire. I like it a lot. Very smart, very highly regarded young woman. Will be coming to Pittsburgh soon. But for where we're going to start, I'm going to start broad, and then we're going to kind of narrow it into some stuff that has happened. But the Natives are getting restless, would be my take on it. Mm-hmm. I think the Pirates finished the season in a very good place. I think people were encouraged, optimistic, all that stuff. As we look at what has happened around the division, I would say that some of that excitement, a lot of that excitement, is sort of dulled. But what do you make of things just not happening right now? Is that normal? Should people be okay with it? Or are you starting to get a little bit worried about sort of the quiet offseason so far?
I know it's strategic, Mackie, but as a fan and a former player, it's tough to watch because there's a lot more money to be spent. I mean, there's some big time free agents and it always trickles down, but you kind of look at just what St. Louis has done. I mean, they went in loud, even though they signed everybody over 35, I think, that could pitch. They still came in hot. Yeah, they came in hot. They came in loud, and they brought guys that wanted to be there. And it reminded me when Sonny Gray said, "This is where I wanted to be." It reminded me something you said a while back. It's like you want to attract people to come here.
Yep.
And I think that's the one issue that they're going to have to beat down that door over the next couple of years to get guys to want to come here. And that's signing the young talent like they've tried to do. I think Mitch Keller would be a huge, huge momentum shift into the offseason. I think even Bednar have told you time and time again, but yeah, they got to do something. And I hope during the winter meeting, something happens, but if nothing else, maybe just some fake news for us or something.
Whoa, brother.
I say fake news because everybody's tied to everybody.
I know,
but our names aren't being popped very often.
That's a tricky word in this business.
I know what I mean. It's the reality of, are we tied to any of the guys that are overseas?
Yeah,
we've been tied to very few guys realistically, and that's a problem. You know, that's something you want to have where, hey, these guys are serious. They're trying to put their feet in the water and see what happens, and they're willing to go out and spend a little bit of money. I think the fans would really appreciate just knowing that.
Yeah, I get that. I look at this a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. I love what the Cardinals have done, by the way. I have no problem with the age of the guys they've signed. I think they went out and identified targets and a weakness of the team. It had only further reinforced to me that like they're not going to be going away for any length of time. If I'm a Pirates fan, I'm a little hacked off right now, frankly. I'm looking at a team that thinks it's going to be better, that wants to be better, that should be better, that showed signs of getting better and needed pitching. And my team right now has gone backwards. My team has lost Johan Oviedo. There's one legitimate starting pitcher standing there in Mitch Keller. And I'm sorry, I like Quinn Priester, Roansy Contreras, and Luis Ortiz. If they are options 8, 9, and 10 of your 10 guys, fine. But like right now, there's nothing between 2 and 7, basically. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, this is a pretty deep market. There are a lot of pitchers out here. I can go to MLB.com right now and look at serviceable arms that, like, in the context of things, are not breaking the bank. Like, if my team, that they want me to buy season tickets to a Major League Baseball game and pay Major League prices for parking, for food, for all of this stuff, you can't sign a Major League pitcher when you have one? What is going on here? There's something wrong with that. There really is, Fort. And, like, I understand. I've given the Pirates the benefit of the doubt a lot of times with, you know, development, younger players, how they're doing things, how they need to build and patience and all this stuff. Like, I think a lot of people that read and watch and listen to me will say I've skewed on the side of being more positive or not as negative as I need to be. But I can't look at this situation objectively and think everything is fine. You need to get pitching. I will cap that, though, I guess, with something that you're plenty aware of as a former player, where you have you're kind of playing it's not a game of chicken, cat and mouse. I don't know what the heck game you would play, but like you're waiting to see what you have. You don't want to commit to the Pirates right now at the end of November when the Blue Jays might come a call in the third week of December. Like why would you do that? Now I guess you would do it if there are multiple years and additional assurance that's probably not coming with another team. You might do it if that yearly dollar amount was more than you were going to get elsewhere. But the Pirates aren't going to do that, let's be honest. So, I mean, pragmatically, I understand why they haven't done anything. It's just from a fan perspective. I also get why you'd be mad. Like, you should be mad.
And a couple of things, what you just said. One, also, they do a terrible job of keeping up with guys in the offseason. So, like, what I mean is, like, their social media isn't seeing what all these guys are doing. Like, what is Priester doing? What is Contreras doing? How is Ortiz doing? So that way they, like, as a fan, you understand, you've seen him throw off a mound, so you know he's healthy. I mean, after Oviedo, that should be my first and foremost thing as a you know, PR, honestly, like getting out there and getting a camera on these guys to let them know that they're okay. even if it's from their social media, reshare.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah. It's so important because then at least they see the growth. Like, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And we
can, as a fan, I'm not buying that. I'm sorry. They could show me 1,000 videos.
I agree. I said that's one side. I do
not care unless you perform better in a game.
I agree. But what is the process of actually performing better? Because if they just show up, and we're going to talk about this in a minute about, you know, whether they need to take a hard, long look at how they're maybe producing these guys and getting them to the big leagues and keeping them healthy. But then number two, Mackie, is like, when is the moment they're going to go? Like, are they looking into this way too hard? You know, instead of going after a guy that they believe in, like Rich Hill, they bet on the human being. They bet on Hedges as a human being. Yes, both guys can really play. Santana, all these signings were early. We have Pirates Fest in January. You want to have a big signing before that happens. So those fans can be excited. Yeah, or a signing. But yeah. I think
at this point, you're going to be trotting out the poor assistant GM at Pirates Fest saying, look at our big offseason.
And I don't think that's enough. I really don't. I mean, even if you're thinking as a team, because you could say the same thing about St. Louis Cardinals. They could sit back and wait. They have pretty good talent in the minor leagues. But no, they went out and they got older guys. Yeah. The key there is they're older guys. And they're signed one-year deals, two-year deal, three-year deal. Not long-term. But what does that do? That pours into that youth. If those guys get hurt, which they don't have a track record of getting hurt, they're on the field, they're producing, and then when it's time, those younger guys can rise up, but they're rising up with the knowledge of, you know, years and years of major league service time. You just cannot take that away. I think we saw a lot of that this year, and that's what I kind of thought would happen, is they would sign some really good, talented veterans that were reasonably inexpensive, because I feel like this free agent market is outstanding when you look at a mid-market team, which I think the Pirates are. I don't think they're low end. I think they're about mid when they push their chips all in. So I hope that they do something and they make a splash in a weird way, but they may have to overspend. I mean, that's something they're always going to have to look at until teams see them as a force and players see them as a place that they want to be.
Yeah, that's something that I've frankly learned more and appreciated more doing this. You hear a lot from fans like, why don't they sign anybody? They're not doing this. They're not, like, in a lot of ways, the Pirates would be happy to sign people and they might be offering a competitive wage. The problem is there are other teams offering that.
Well said.
And until you break through and until you give that player a reason to sign that contract, you're always going to be one of those people standing in a line with your hand out. And eventually, like, players get hooked up with teams where they want to be. And, you know, it's something that nobody's really going to say, but, you know, Tyler Anderson a couple of years ago signed with the Pirates because they were probably the only ones still wanting him who had a regular rotation spot. Correct. You think Tyler Anderson just like really wanted to see the Three Rivers and wanted to, you know, experience pitching? And no, like, he wanted a major league job and get his career back on track. Jerrod Dyson really wasn't that far off when he said there ain't much out there, man. I mean, that's like, it's the brutal honest truth, but that stuff doesn't come together until late. You have to sort of, you know, and I'm telling you things you already know, but
no, but to let the fans know is like, depending on what type of free agent you are kind of waiting in the whim. Cause
right. And even, anybody right now for, they're going to have better options.
Right.
You know,
right.
Which, like, so you're not going to see a lot of early activity. I understand.
Right. And when things start happening, that's when you, like, if Ohtani signs, that has a trickle down effect. Those big free agent signings have a trickle down effect. The fact that some of these guys are coming off the board that are in the top five, top 10 when it comes to pitching is going to help the Pirates, because that lets money be delegated where it needs to go. And it pushes down those other teams. But at the same time, it kind of forces the Pirates' hand, because those other teams that didn't land those guys, they start going down their list and they're holding on to those guys. Say, hey, if you'll hold on, we promise you this, they're offering just the same amount of money. And that's when the Pirates have to get creative. Maybe they have to go above the demand, offer something like you said with Anderson. They also did it with Quintana and Rich Hill, gave them a rotation spot. You know, a lot of teams won't guarantee that. We did. And I feel like that gave them an opportunity to come here. They all pitched well, in my opinion, and kind of further their career. Maybe not Rich Hill because he's 43, but yeah, I think they have to get very creative and do things a little bit different. I think it's probably why they're bringing in someone to add to that think tank.
Add to the think tank. I like that. We'll transition in a second. I have one thing I want to bring up to you free agency wise, the thought that I've had the past couple of days that I want to get your take on. But yeah, I do think we're kind of going to be in this. Well, let me say this first. One thing that I keep hearing with their plans, and I think this might bode well for the winter meetings, is that trades are going to be a significant part of how they fix the rotation. I don't think that means trading significant major league players. I think that probably means dealing from a position of prospect strength, maybe a position of major league strength, somebody like Connor Joe. That's obviously not going to attract, like, you know, your top of the rotation arm. I understand that. But I will be curious to see how that manifests itself at the winter meetings. Like, I think that free agency signings, you can do a little bit of that. I think there's a little bit of that groundwork laid also with the GM's meetings, but stuff like trades, I think you can often see something shake out. So we'll see where that goes. My idea though, Fort, looking at the first base situation, and I'm looking at it in totality, the dollars they're going to spend, how much first baseman could cost, how much pitching could cost. By the way, Luis Severino getting $13 million from the Mets blew my mind. I mean, you're looking at double-digit millions to get like a mid-rotation arm, which I'm fine with, but like, I don't know how much that's going to leave you for first base. You know somebody I've come around to? Eric Hosmer.
Really? Is that
it? Yes. I've boomeranged back on it. We started this process, and I'm like, dear God, don't get Eric Hosmer. What are you doing? Carlos Santana, Brandon Belt, literally anybody else. I started adjusting my thinking and looking at some splits and the way they could, you know, maybe put this thing together. He's a left-handed bat who fields the position well. He's hit right-handed pitching. He matches well with Triolo there. You know, he's a veteran guy. You're not going to be playing him all the time. Maybe sporadic playing time would help him be more productive with what he does get. You'd be able to get him for next to nothing. I can't imagine that market would be very high. There's probably still enough power there to at least on the Pirates make an impact. I realize that's not going to move the needle and nobody's going to be super excited about signing Eric Hosmer. But if you're going to create a platoon with one of your young guys who's a right-handed hitter, Triolo, I think it works. Tell me I'm nuts. You can. I won't be offended. People do it all the time.
I don't think you're nuts. I would bring him in on a guaranteed minor league deal.
Okay.
And
a Miggy Andujar deal.
Yeah. Like, he's going to get
him, like, Andujar, please.
Yeah. He's going to get paid. But I don't know if many people remember this, but in 2014, that's what Turner did. He went to the Dodgers and he revamped his swing, did a lot of things different. I know Hosmer's probably doing a lot of groundwork, trying to figure out how to get a little bit more extension through the ball, catch the ball out in front so we can create a little bit more leverage and more power, because he hits the ball extremely hard. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no doubt about it. But I do think he matches well at that ballpark because he does hit the ball the other way really, really well. And I think he puts together really good at-bats. If you just kind of wash away that, hey, you don't have to worry about hitting homers, just have good at-bats, take your walks, play great defense. Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that Eric Hosmer, but I'd like him to come in with, instead of a guarantee, something to prove. And I think he would do it for the right reasons, and we have a spot available. So I think it's a great opportunity for him, but I wouldn't give him, you know, $4 or $5 million. It'd be hard to say that money shouldn't be allotted to pitching, period, unless they can trade for it.
Where are you at on Joey Votto, Fort?
I like Joey Votto over Hosmer. I still think he'll probably be a Red. Heard some grumblings about it, but if you can get a guy like that, I think his value, and you could do it incentive-based, I think he's willing to do that when you think about his personality and the fact that he could go beat up on his old team. Yeah. I know that left a sour taste in his mouth. If you look at his social media, how many people he posted over that week after he got, you know, let go or they didn't pick up his option, kind of showed how much he wanted to be there. And I don't know if it was sour blood or what happened, but I don't think they did it necessarily properly. You know, there's a way to let go of your guys. And a lot of these teams don't realize, like, if you do it in a fashion of like true transparency and true care, like, hey, this is where we're at, this is why we're not doing it, but we can do this. I don't think they did that. I think they just cut the tie and said, see you later. So I think a Mad Joey Votto is a great, great fit for the Buccos.
Fort, you lost me at sour blood.
Sour blood. Yeah. I'm a vampire. I didn't know if I told you that.
Dude. So my wife and I joke about this. It's mainly because she has a propensity for using sayings, you know, that we've used forever and screwing them up. One of my favorite is
that's me.
You do that?
Oh, I'm from Tennessee and I can't get anything right.
One of the things she says is take a long walk off a short bridge. not a long walk up a short pier.
That's good though. I like
that. Yeah, right. Take a long walk up a short bridge. Just keep going.
Yeah, if you're a giant, that really fits.
Just don't stop. So sour blood, the combination of sour grapes and bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that. Nice work, sir.
Well, she can use it. Not going to use the bridge.
I'll give that app. She could steal it. Yeah, that's great. Good. All right.
That's I mean, what do you think about Joey Votto? I mean,
I think we're wasting our time.
I do too, it'd be neat.
I would love it. Yeah. I would love it. Yeah. And I think it makes sense. I think Votto would be motivated. I think he would pour into some of the Pirates' younger players. I think he would become a fan favorite. I think he would, you know, from a baseball standpoint, really help him. I was also standing right in front of Ben Cherington when he was asked about Joey Votto, and his reaction was not somebody who was even the least bit interested in signing Joey Votto. I know Ben plays a lot of cards close to his chest, but you might have asked him, you know, it would have been the same. I said, like, Ben, what do you think about signing Ken Griffey Jr.? You know, that's the reaction. Yeah. Like, that's how realistic it felt.
Yeah. Or Otani. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Like, seriously, they might have a better chance of signing. I don't know.
Chance. Yeah, we'll sign. If he gets stake in the team, maybe.
Yeah, they're gonna sign Otani, but it's like Yusei Otani or something, and he's a catcher that has bad knees and played in the Mexican League.
Or his unborn child, either one.
Yeah,
maybe worth trying.
Not bad. Planning ahead, it's never a bad thing. All right, so the Pirates did make an addition. Fort, we'll talk about it briefly. And I like this, by the way, Sarah Gellis. I was saying jealous, and that is incorrect. At least that was earlier today, but very extensive background. Immediately was in Houston. I think a lot of people know how analytically driven, data driven the Astros are. She was one of the key people there, heading up research and development. Before that was with the Baltimore Orioles in a similar capacity, overseeing an analytics department. There are a bunch of fancy titles associated with that, but it's quite a hire. What did you make of it?
I love it. I think sometimes you can have too many cooks in the kitchen, but when it comes to the think tank, I think bringing in people from other organizations that have had success, you get a whole new perspective. I always think about that with free agents. When you bring in guys like Hedges and Hill, anytime you can bring in somebody that can give you a completely different look or give you an idea of what other teams are doing, I think it's awesome. And someone that's proven themselves over a long period of time that started with the Pirates, I believe as an intern, is really, really cool. And it kind of shows that the game's evolving in a lot of ways. I think there's still personally needs to be special assistants, advisors. I mean, you see what the Dodgers just did. O'Neill Cruz is a new advisor with the Dodgers. Wild. I didn't see that coming. Yeah. And I think you're going to see
more.
Did you
say O'Neill Cruz is an advisor? Not with the Dodgers?
Excuse me. Not O'Neill Cruz. I can't think of his name. DH forever.
Nelson Cruz.
Excuse me.
That's what I'm here for.
O'Neill Cruz has been on my mind because 9,000 people asked me about him last night. But I think that's brilliant. If you can bring in players, and we just saw what Texas did, they have a GM that is a former player. I think mixing those minds of, you know, the think tanks with guys that are just out of playing or, you know, played within the last decade is so, so smart. Like one guy I would love to see come in is AJ Burnett. I'd love to see him come in.
You and me both.
And be a special assistant, special advisor, because he's going to look at it differently. He's not analytical. He's going to look at it straightforward and kind of give you his mind. I think that's really important. It's why we won when I was here. We had guys like that, and it's why we won when I was in AAA, because we had guys like that, and we won the national championship that year because, you know, that there was no ego. It's like, how can we be the best we can be, period.
I think any smart sports person, and I'd say sports person because it's not like I dealt with this in hockey too. Too much of anything is bad.
Correct.
You know, anybody who is too analytically minded, like, no, you're taking the human element out of the game. Anybody who's too much of a dinosaur and you're not discounting or you're not taking into account analytics, like, what are you doing? It's important. It can inform your thinking. And so, like, for the same reason that I like the hire of Sarah Gellis, I agree with you for hiring AJ Burnett. Like, that's a perfect balance of things. And, you know, I don't believe that, you know, the sex of the person has nothing to do with being successful. You play the game, right? Like, I want people with experience playing the game at Major League Baseball level. Like, AJ Burnett has experienced things that you know, less than 1% of our society has. And it's just a nice counterbalance. So in any case, I did want to correct something I said earlier, maybe just expand on it. She was the director of baseball research and development in Houston, and a really neat position. I don't think I clarified that enough, but interned with the Pirates, has a pretty extensive background. We'll be working alongside Kevin Graves, Steve Sanders as well. I think the obvious question for it, and you and I both had this reaction, what does this mean for Ben Cherington?
Moving on up. That's what it means.
Yep. As soon they can do it, right?
As soon as they can do it.
That was my reaction.
He's going to be baseball ops, president of baseball ops. And I think it fits.
But you got to win.
You got to win. You got to win.
Yeah.
I think Travis has done a great job. You've seen how much the growth has been in almost every aspect when it comes to financially, when it comes to the Pirates. I know a lot of that had to do with winning, but the fact that they bought land around the field, they're going to do some stuff out there. He's done a great job getting out of the community. He's business first. Yep. He's not baseball first. Yep. I think having that two-headed monster could really be good for the city and for that team.
Yep. I agree.
And but you got to win.
I mean, frankly, I think that's one of the reasons Ben came here. I mean, that has to be appealing. It's a way to grow your career. And who is elevated under him, I don't know. But picture the scenario where they win. Let's say they win 85 games next year. They compete for a playoff spot. They become sort of a talking point. People take notice. You know, Kevin Graves might use that and go somewhere. Steve Sanders might use that and go somewhere. I don't know. Wouldn't shock me at all if the Pirates use that and they promote Ben Cherington. People are maybe Don Kelly winds up managing somewhere because of the work the Pirates do next season. But I mean, I think that's by design that you spin off of that and then they bring in Sarah and they've already sort of insulated themselves. So I don't see any world where the Pirates continue to have three assistant general managers. I mean, that's just very strange. So I think we wait and see if Mr. Cherington can move on up, but you got to win. And I think if they regress and win 67 games, you're not going to promote the GM. Right. Correct. Like you might be getting rid of somebody and then who knows what happens.
But. And to Mackie, she didn't go in whatever role they were going to bring her in on. They've just been trying to steal her. And they're like, you're the new assistant GM. They didn't put that out on LinkedIn and said, hey, we're looking for a third assistant GM. Yep. You know, they wanted her. They did everything they could. It probably wasn't just a salary thing by any stretch. It was really just a growth in her career that she wanted, and they got her in. Same thing with Ben Cherington. If he wins and he proves that he can win in Pittsburgh, people are going to come calling. I mean, he's got a deep resume. He's got a deep network. So, yeah, you're going to have to do something, and I think that is the end goal for him here.
All right. You want to finish up with some questions?
I do.
We have a lot to get through, though, brother. So we cannot blab too much.
We blab.
And I'm talking to myself right now. It's one of those. I'm not good. Yes. What was his name again? I didn't catch that.
Bert.
Okay. All right. Bert, you keep it quiet too. All right. Keith Wendell asks, bringing in Sarah Gellis, what kind of improvement should we see when it comes to internal development and just anything from the front office? I would add briefly, maybe a greater adherence to analytics. I think a lot of stuff will be data driven. Hopefully pitchers with a clearer understanding of what works and in what situations. Hitters realizing what their best pitch is, what their worst pitch is, dictating approaches, that sort of thing. Maybe fielding, positioning, that sort of stuff, how the Pirates are playing the odds with certain things. But, you know, I think the Pirates, by and large, I don't think they're fixing something that's broken analytically, but I think it's always good to have an extra set of eyes and more data. What do you think?
Well said. I'll use my brother's example. He does a job of seven people, and that's pretty much a GM. You couldn't have enough people to help you do the right thing. Having an extra set of hands, set of eyes, and someone that is very analytical driven gives a chance for these other two guys to get down on the field, be around the guys, get to know the human being, and then tie it all together. I think that's one thing that the Pirates haven't done well over the last couple of years, even when I was involved as a player. You know, getting down on the field, Ben does a really good job being around, but just sitting and talking to guys, getting to know them. I just watched a movie, Mackie. I had to bring this up. I won't go along about it, but Greater. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. It's about a kid that went to Arkansas. That's all he wanted to do. Everybody told him all the reasons he couldn't, became an All-American. He was drafted in the NFL, ended up passing away. Sorry to ruin the story, but it just shows the human being matters.
Not gonna watch it now. You spoiled the story.
No, it doesn't.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, but it just shows once again betting on the right human being matters. And if you watch the whole movie, you'll be like, wow, that's exactly right. And I think giving people what they do well, like her, analytically, and giving other people like Graves, who's very personable, can get down on the field and get to know these guys better, is only going to help that team.
Yep. Seth Johnson at SethyJ31 asks, how likely are the Pirates to make a move from their prospect depth at this point? It seems to me all but guaranteed. I would probably agree with Seth. I think that's going to be a big driver in how they can get someone. I just don't know, and I'll spin the question forward a little bit this way for it. I don't know who that entails. Like, how nuclear would you go when it comes to prospects and what you'd be willing to deal? I'm not going Endy or Henry. I don't like the idea of trading Sawinski. Any of the pitchers I would be willing to trade, but I don't think that would net you much. Pagaro, I mean, I'd be willing. I just don't think it's Gonzalez. Just worries me what all you can bring back. Where would you go with that?
I think they'll go anywhere. For the right.
You think anybody is available?
I do. I do think anybody's available, and that's Keller, that's Bednar. I think if the right thing hits and they can allocate that money that they owed to some of the guys that are going to be in arbitration, yeah, they're going to do it. I think that's something that is going to be different with Ben, is he's going to be willing to do what Tampa Bay does, what Seattle does, and get very creative to maybe give away where, like you said, where they have strength, which is up the middle. But yeah, I could definitely see at the big league level, if they're going to get what they think they need, them trading Bednar, because if they're not going to lock him in,
just
I'm
don't.
Telling you, yeah,
no,
there's no doubt in my mind, or a Holderman, because that in their minds is a position of strength for them. There's no doubt in my mind.
I hate it.
I know.
I absolutely hate it. I would be furious if they traded those guys.
And I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think you're going to make your team better. I don't think there's a deal there that you're going to make the Pirates better.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any rush. So I'm just saying, you asked nuclear option. There we go. That's something that could happen.
I was going more prospects, but yeah.
Prospects, I think we have a great, great lower-level prospects. So, I mean, they could get rid of a lot of different guys that maybe we have that have some huge upside, which we may regret in the long term. But, like, that's how we traded Tony Watson. We got Oneil Cruz. You don't know. But when you see something, you're like, I love that guy. That team may just give all in on that. You never know.
Okay. We're doing some serious and some fun, by the way. So just to expect that shortly. Chris Fuller at CFuller2218 asks, any update on Cruz? Not really. They're hoping that he plays in the Dominican Winter League. Still a possibility to do that, but no. Do not have anything at this point. We'll certainly pass it along if and when that comes about. Jonesy44 at Jeff Jones 44, I'm sorry, asks, Fort, which pitcher had the nastiest stuff that you've ever caught? I was curious on this one too.
So it's somebody probably none of you guys have ever heard of, Samuel DeDuno.
Nope, never heard of him.
He actually won the World Baseball Classic with the Dominican. He got into pro ball late. Nasty stuff. Could not tell you if it was going to cut or sink. And his ball moved all over the place. And one of the best curveballs I've ever seen, even in Colorado.
Cool.
Yeah. So a little different name.
Okay. I got one from Chris Laverty. I think that might be getting it wrong. What's your favorite live Grateful Dead album or one you listen to most often? That will get in there every time, I guarantee you. Grateful Dead live album, probably Sunshine Daydream, which is a bit of a cheesy pick. You don't know what I'm talking about, Ford. That's okay. It's from Veneta, Oregon, August 27th, 1972. Any great Grateful Dead fan would get that one, but we won't spend too much time. But I like the simple stuff.
I'm on my bike ride tomorrow. I'm going to be listening to that. that's going to be my go-to.
What do you do? Apple Music?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Apple Music. Just type in Sunshine Daydream. You're going to see a big tie-dye thing and go in there. You can skip the first track, but start with Promised Land. We'll see how long you make it. It's a good Grateful Dead starter course. It really is. Like there are jams, but they're really good jams. It's rocky, simple stuff. They went to a bunch of different directions, but they didn't get totally haywire at that point. Okay. Another fun one. What's on your personal Christmas list and what's your top Christmas movie?
Wow. Bam, bam, you go first.
Mike Edwards, by the way, at Mike BC Edwards. On my personal Christmas list, probably a new pair of Hokas. Wearing my shoes out, as fancy as that is. Maybe a little bit of bourbon. I think that's probably, I don't have anything too fancy. A couple books, Tom Petty book I've been meaning to read. What else? Favorite Christmas movie? I got to go Christmas Vacation. I'm like tempted. I love the Home Alone series 1 and 2. And I think 2 is every bit as good as 1, but I can't not pick Christmas Vacation.
Yeah. Uncle Eddie did it for me. I love Uncle Eddie.
Cousin Eddie.
He's Uncle Eddie to me. Uncle Eddie. Yeah. So that's one. And being a former RV owner, it meant a lot watching him go through that.
Yeah.
And then, when it comes to, gifts, man, nothing. I keep getting asked, and I'm kind of short on.
It stresses me out this time.
Yeah,
of year,
I'm
man.
More of
it
a really gift does. Giver, so yeah. It's tough. But yeah, there's a couple books that I'd like to get, and some things I want. I want some kettlebells.
Okay. So,
and I would mind a little bit of bourbon. You have to tell me which one.
Yeah, we could do a little Secret Santa kind of thing amongst our
bourbon and cigar. Fun. Love it.
Ah, heaven. Heaven. All right. Dave Thomas asks at DJ Thomas 23, what do you project the Pirates payroll to be on opening day in 2024? Which I think is an interesting question. I had a couple responses to this in my head as I was typing it out. One, and this is not a defense of the Pirates. Please don't read it that way. But people that are out there worrying about what their payroll is, you're only seeing part of the issue. Mm-hmm. I think the payroll is important. I think they should spend money on pitchers, especially they're in a position of need right now. I'm equally as concerned, though, about if you would ask the question, how do I think, you know, some of these young players are going to develop? I think it's important to fill holes, certainly, and to do the math. You know, you can look right now. I think it's like 55, 56 million without anything going on. I would say minimum add 25 to that. I don't see how they get through the offseason and don't address those holes, at least with that. I hope it's more. So what, 55 plus 25? Do the math for me, Ford.
You're at 80.
Yep.
And I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah, I think it's a great starting. I think I would put probably between 80 and 90. Mm-hmm. If you're going to ask me to project a number. I don't think it gets to 100. I also, like, I'm largely okay with it. If you told me the payroll was going to be 85 million, they signed 2 veteran pitchers and a, what do we say, caliber first baseman. I don't know. Let's say, you know, an Eric Hosmer equivalent.
Five to $8 million first baseman, yeah.
Platoon. Yeah, even less than that. Less than that.
Yeah.
I think I'd largely be okay with it. You know, I understand what they're doing. I understand why they're doing it. I don't think payroll is everything. I would much rather take a guarantee that, like, if you told me 2 of the 3, Priester, Ortiz, and Rowanzi were going to work out, if I could get that, I'd sign up for $85 million in payroll in a heartbeat.
And explain real quick the $55 million where they're sitting right now. Explain how you came to that number real quick, because it'll kind of prove the point I want to make next.
I read Ethan Hallahan's thing.
It's
no.
Like, what's, right.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking, but I'm not. I mean, Ethan does do a great job. Yeah. No, it's the combination of what Brian Reynolds' guaranteed salary, Ke'Bryan Hayes' guaranteed salary, arbitration projections, team control contracts, minor league 40-man roster contracts. Are guaranteed to go at this point, like the contracts they've signed up for.
And reason why I wanted you to bring that up is I'd like to see that increased year in, year out over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. If you want to look at payroll,
sure,
that's the way you should look at it. What is being allotted year in, year out? And it went up, in my opinion, from last year. You want to see that go, because that's really, in my opinion, where you see the nucleus of a good team coming together, because you're having pieces that are sticking. So like you said, going back to exactly what you said, the payroll really doesn't matter as much as it does. It's like, you know, I would see it getting up to, it could even get up to 95 to 100 if they sign Keller or Bednar to an extension, because they may allot that money out early here so they can spend more money later on.
There are two parts to it, right? Like, And this is something, I think the payroll was at 39 million, something around the time you were playing. And mm-hmm. then it got up to 100 million in 2016. Mm-hmm. Like that's a conveniently forgotten fact about the Pirates.
I think it got up like 119 at one point.
It topped out at 100.
It did. Okay.
But after that, they made a bunch of stupid decisions. Right. I mean, they failed to develop guys. They failed to recognize talent they had. They drafted poorly. They traded poorly. Like, they should be criticized for all of it. I'm not defending mm-hmm. it. But I mean, a lot of times that's what happens, right? Like, it's not just the payroll. You might trade guys away, and it's naturally going to bob down. Like, if you trade a guy that's a higher earner and you replace him with a young guy that you've drafted, developed, he comes up and he's not making as much money, naturally the payroll is going to go down. I'm not as that worried about it. But if that young guy can actually produce, if you've identified him as being a good player, if you've grown him up, if he's ready to take over that position, then who the heck cares? You know, that's my contention with the Pirates largely, that if they win games, nobody's really going to be worried about the payroll.
Truth.
Nobody's really going to be worried about, you know, what, oh, well, you might spend a month saying, oh, man, I can't believe they didn't re-sign this guy. This is ridiculous. What a dumb decision. And then somebody else comes in and they're more productive and you forget about the first guy.
Right.
So right. And we got to get to that point.
And we know that the TV deal is being worked out, and that has to do with the payroll. That may give them more money to spend, may give them less. I have no clue.
Yeah. I think it's going to be reasonably close for this year. I don't think it should curtail their spending. I don't think it's going to send them on some sort of spree. You know, you've got an idea. You've got guaranteed 80-ish percent from MLB.
No doubt.
Probably going to better that and wind up with Sportsnet Pittsburgh anyway.
Right. Agreed.
All right. I think that's all we got, man. Favorite Christmas cookie. What do you got?
I have one question for you. I got this from a fan.
No.
Recently.
Don't run away. No,
you got it. Got to answer this.
Fine.
Austin Meadows.
No.
Interesting or
Pass.
No?
Pass.
I said the same thing. I don't know where he fits. I think it's high risk, high reward, but I don't know where he fits.
No, I don't need that. I mean, I'm still in the camp. Like, I would play Henry Davis in the outfield. I'd have him working on the outfield right now, and I'd want to transform into a right fielder with a cannon who could at least play a capable right field. I don't think that's what they're doing. I'm just saying that's what I would – or put G1 Bay in center and use his speed, put it to good use, and bump Sawinski to a corner spot. Like,
yeah, I think those are big decisions.
I'm not introducing Austin Meadows into that, and my reserve outfielders are going to be Palacios, Joe, and McCutcheon, some combination thereof.
Agreed. Just had to ask.
That's fine.
Yep. Favorite Christmas cookie is a pumpkin chocolate chip. My mom just made them for Thanksgiving, and I fell in love, and I love pumpkin. So,
okay.
What about you?
Very nice. We had, I'm very simple, but a good sugar cookie, man. We had decorating like stuff at our church.
Big sugar.
Big, thick sugar cookies.
Okay.
Not like the thin, like they're gone in two bites. Like, these are bigger, thick sugar cookies with icing. And so if anybody wants to, you know, donate some sugar cookies to the Pitching In cause, I mean, I guess we would accept them.
Absolutely. Honestly, any cookies. I'm kind of like Santa.
I know, right?
Yeah. I'm just put some cookies out. I'm happy.
Yeah, dude. All right. That's going to do it for Fort and I this week. Thank you as always for watching, listening. All right, pal. You too. Thank you. We appreciate your sign. I forgot his name again.
What's Bert.
His name? Bert. Thank you, Bert. We appreciate you guys watching and listening as always. Make sure to subscribe. You can and like us and all that stuff you do on YouTube. You can check out all of our content around Steelers games and Pitt as they transition to basketball and Penguin stuff going on. I see as we're recording this, it looks like Tristan Jarry scored a goalie goal, which is fantastic, but we will have you covered from a Penguins angle. Always enjoy these sessions with you, Fort. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to doing one. I guess it'll be post-winter meetings. I come back Wednesday night. You're not going down, right?
Nope. Decided not to.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll reconvene on mm-hmm. here, and we'll talk a little winter meetings. But until then, I guess that's all I got for it. Anything you have to add, sir?
Nope. Got it.
All right. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.
stuff.